2 Samuel chapter number 21. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. Does anybody remember what I preached out of on Mother's Day 4 years ago? Good. So I've got a message in my Bible, a new message, and I've been working on and praying about. But this morning, last night, the more I studied about it, well, I actually finished up and everything, but I just could not get liberty to preach that today. But the Lord reminded me and brought this to my remembrance. I've only heard this preached on one time in all my life, and I preached from 2 Samuel chapter number 21 one time. It could be a Mother's Day or Father's Day message, but you'd have to look at it from two different ways. What we read about here in 2 Samuel chapter number 21 is really the bad effects that are left over from a father that made bad decisions. Here's a father that made some terrible decisions, and even after he was gone, it affected his children, and they suffered because of the decision and the life of their father. But I'm not going to preach on that today. I'm going to preach on Rizpah. She's a model mother, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. But let's read the first 14 verses here in 2 Samuel chapter number 21, and looking at Rizpah, this lady named Rizpah, she's a model mother in the Bible. I like what Preacher Eric preached on this morning on the radio. He said, talking about the world's greatest mother, he said everybody would say, well, my mother was the world's greatest mother. And I thought that's pretty good, because all of us would agree with that, I'm sure, today. But he was talking about a Christian mother being the world's greatest mother. But this lady Rizpah in the Bible, she's a great mother. We're going to look at her today. The Bible said, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them. Now, notice what it says in the parentheses here. It says, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. And if you remember in Joshua chapter number 9, when the children of Israel met the Gibeonites, and you remember they dressed up like they had traveled for miles and miles, and they had moldy bread and worn out garments, and they said, you don't have to worry about us. We live so far away, we'll never bother you. And so Joshua made a covenant with the Gibeonites that they would not destroy them like they had the inhabitants of Jericho and Ai. And so they had a covenant together with the Gibeonites. Well, Saul comes along years and years later, and he breaks that covenant with the Gibeonites, and he tries to destroy them. And that's why God had sent a famine upon the land of Israel 3 years in a row. And so David prayed, and he asked God, what's the reason for the famine? And God showed him it was because Saul had broken this covenant with the Gibeonites. So verse number 3 says, wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel. Let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul. This was Saul's children by Rizpah. Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray for your help today. I pray, Lord, I feel very needy in my heart and in my soul. I thank you for letting us be here. I thank you for the good worship we've already had, Lord, for the good singing that we had and the choir and the Sunday school time. And Lord, it's just been good to be in thy house, and we're thankful for our mothers, Lord, and all that they mean to us. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help us today as we look into the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us from thy Word. I pray for thy help. I pray, Lord, for the unction which only comes from thee. Lord, I pray you'd challenge us from the Word of God today. If there'd be one here today that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. Lord, I pray in these last days you'd strengthen our families. I pray you'd strengthen our fathers, that we'd make right decisions and be the men that we ought to be. I pray you'd strengthen our mothers. I pray you'd help our children, God. I pray we'd endeavor to live our lives according to thy Word. Lord, I know you'll bless us as we endeavor to do that. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. I need your help now. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, you prayed for us this morning, but as we look here in the Word of God, maybe you've heard about this lady named Rizpah. Maybe you have not heard of her, but I believe she's one of the little known or unsung heroes of the Bible. This lady whose name is Rizpah, who bare children unto Saul. We're talking about his children here in this passage of Scripture. Their names were Armoni and Mephibosheth, not Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. But there's a Mephibosheth that was one of Saul's sons, and we read about what she did for her sons. And so we'll look at how she is a model mother in the Word of God. Someone said one time that Mother's Day is the day that children give back in some way. Now, listen to this. I can imagine my mother in all of this. This is the day that children give back in some way for all the spit they produced to wash dirty faces. Now, that was before they start carrying these little wipes, you know, that come in a little package. And moms, they just, and get the dirt off your face. Or I remember my mom, she would dampen a washcloth and wrap it up, put it in a little baggie. That was before they had wet ones and wipes and all of these things. So Mother's Day's to pay back to for all those times they embarrassed us and washed our dirty faces, and all the old gum they've held in their hands, and all the noses that they've wiped, and all the knees that they've kissed and made better, and all the diapers they've changed, and all the sheets they've washed, all the trips to the school and practices in the rain, and making us do things that we really wanted to quit. Did your mom ever do that for you? She sure did that. Making us do the things that we wanted to quit. And mom came along and she said, nope, You're going to have to suffer through it. You're going to have to carry through to the end. And so mothers have a lot that they need to be thanked for. And Mother's Day is one of those days that we take time to do that. Now, Rizpah in the Bible, she is beyond all of those childhood things. Her children are not children anymore, but they're grown and they're gone and they're men, and they've moved out of the house and all of these things. Yet in all of that, she is still a model mother. I know, my dad in the past several years, he heard something a while back from a preacher and he said it over and over again, and I've said it many, many times, but he heard somebody said something like this: as a parent, you can only be as happy as your least happiest child. You think about that this morning. I think there's some truth to that. As a parent, you can only be as happy as your least happiest child. If you had 10 children and they were all doing wonderful and serving the Lord and getting along good and had all their needs met and fulfilled all their goals and had children of their own, but if you had one of those children that was out of God's will and their life was a mess, it'd be hard for you to be happier than that least happiest child, because that's how a parent's heart is. We're concerned about our children. I was talking with Preacher Mark when I was out there last week, and we were talking about our children and about parents that had young children, and I made the statement to him. I said, you know those parents that still have their children on their lap and they're leading them by the hand everywhere and doing everything for them, they don't know how easy they have it as a parent. And we were laughing between ourselves. You just wait till they get up and want to talk about dating and getting out of the house and graduating. And boy, I can already see how your heart can be heavier and heavier as time goes on. Your children are never going to get to the place where they're not your children anymore. And so Rizpah has two sons by Saul. That's what it says in verse number 8. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, whom she bare unto Saul. This is Saul's children. Saul is already dead. Saul's already gone on. He's not even alive anymore. But they take her two children here, and they are handed over to the Gibeonites, who the Gibeonites took and hung them up. That means literally that just like in the old cowboy days, they hung her two children along with five of the sons of Michal. And so they're hung up there, and part of the judgment is that they are left hanging out there in the open. They not only killed them, but they left them outside for the buzzards and the coyotes and the birds and the elements to just rot their flesh away, and for them to suffer that shame of never being buried. And so that's what's happening here in chapter number 21. And so her parenting days are not over. Let me show you some things this morning about Rizpah, how she's a model mother. Number one, she's a model in her passion. In verse number 10, the Bible says over there what Rizpah did. Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. Now, that is a wonderful picture of a mother's love. She loved her sons. She loved her sons to the point that when the trial was over and the sentence against her sons had been carried out and they were dead and there was no more life in them whatsoever, everybody else would come along and they would say, Rizpah, it's over now. It's done. Let's go home. Let's try to get on with life. Let's try to forget about it. But that Rizpah was not satisfied to say, all right, my sons are dead. Let's just go to the house and try to get on with life and forget about it. That's not what she did. The Word of God tells us here that she made her bed upon a rock. She made her a place upon a rock in order to stay there and to keep the beasts off of her children by day and by night. That's what the Bible says. She took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. So other people said, Rizpah, let's go home. But Rizpah wasn't satisfied with that. She wanted the very best for her sons. Not the death and the shame of a criminal, but what she wanted them to be properly buried. If you read all of these verses, and we'll read on down through verses 11 through 14 later on, but what she wanted from King David, she wanted her sons to be buried. If you read and study in the Word of God, it was a shame. It was a sign of the judgment of God for anybody to hang out in the open. That's why the Jews were very careful to bury their dead. We could even look at the Lord Jesus Christ when He died upon the cross and how they hurried to put His body in the grave. It was a shame. It was a disgrace for a body to be left unburied. So what she wanted more than anything else, she wanted her sons to be buried. She knew she couldn't bring them back. She knew that point had already been passed, but she wanted a burial. And she could not stand the thoughts of the vultures and the wild animals feeding upon her sons. I just want to say, as I move along this morning and remind the children here today, there is no love like a mother's love. You need to remember that this morning. There's no love in the world like a mother's love. And so we see a mother's love pictured here in the Lady of Rizpah. Now, the dad may give up. The dad may look at the son, the daughter, and the dad may act like, there's nothing else we can do. They're just going to have to make the bed, lay in the bed that they made for themselves and all like that. And I'll tell you, but a mother, it's just hard for her to be like that. See, there's some things a mother done for a child that the father never did. The mother, I like what Brother Jason said this morning, we're here because of you. A mother birthed her children into this world. There's no love, there's no bond like the love and the bond that a mother has for her children. Many of our mothers, they held us to her breast and fed us when we were little children. There's just a bond there. There's just something about that that a father doesn't understand. A father cannot relate to. She birthed us. She held us. She fed us. They changed our diapers and all of these things. Wiped our nose. All those things we can think about that a mother has done for us. Now, my children love me. I have no doubt about that. I make them. Don't you? There's no option against that. But now, but they love me and they'll come to me and all like that. But just to be honest, since every one of them, since they were little and even all the way up through their years, I'll tell you, when they get in trouble, when they really need something, you know who they go to? They go to mom. When they're sick, who they want? When they're sick. Now, we have maybe not Noah so much, but now Chloe and Abigail and all, when they are sick, I'll tell you who they want. They want their mom. She can comfort. She can help. Just her presence being there when they have a need and when they're sick and all of these things. There's no love like a mother's love. Now you tell me what greater picture is there of a mother's love that she would lay out on a rock And she would stand out there probably, I can imagine her with a broom or a stick or something like that. And any bird that would light upon her sons or any wild beast that would come around at night, she stood out there day and night, over and over. The weeks went by. There's no love like a mother's love. So she's a model of love in her passion. She's a model of love in her presence as well. We see that the Word of God says here that she took a sackcloth, spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. Do you know that's about 5 or 6 months? She didn't stay out there about 3 days till she got tired and ready to go on and do something else. 5 or 6 months. She lived outside and made sure that nothing, no beast, the Word of God says there in verse 10, neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. She was right there in the presence of her children. Now I wouldn't say this to hurt anybody's feelings or make them feel bad, but you know what? It's hard to be a mama. It's hard to be a daddy to our children if we are not with them in our presence. Do you know they need our presence, not with the T on the end? I'm not talking about Christmas presents. What I'm talking about, our physical presence, they need us in their lives more than they need any other thing in this whole wide world. Children need their mamas and children need their daddies in their lives. They need our presence. They need us to be there for them. They need your presence more than they need education. I'm not against education, but I'm about to come to the place in my life where I think one of the worst things you can do for your children is give them a public education. Because what that does many times is brainwashes them against the family and brainwashes them against the Word of God and brainwashes them against the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's not like it was when I grew up. Children need our presence. They need a godly influence in their life. The Bible said in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 5 over there that the ladies, the mothers, they're to be keepers at home. I am very thankful this morning that it's been about 19 years ago now. Kim and I made a decision that she was going to be a stay-at-home mom. We made the decision that she was going to be a stay-at-home mom. Now, we didn't make that because we were in good financial shape and we were able to do that. Do you know, when we made that decision, she actually made more money than I did. She is a dental assistant. And I filled up vending machines for a living. That's what I did. But we were not financially able to do that. But I remember us sitting down and making a spiritual decision that we were going to follow the model in the Word of God and we were just going to believe what the Bible said. I believe with all of my heart then, and I can stand here today and tell you that God is faithful to His Word. If you'll do what God says to do, He'll bless you when you can't see where it's going to come from. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I remember how important that was to me, that our children would have their mother stay at home with them. And that was important to me because my mother stayed home with me and my brother and raised us. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Those of you that had your mother in the home growing up, you cannot get away from that. There's nothing you could buy in this world that would be worth more than your mama raising you at home. Amen. They need our presence. They need, do you know in this day and time that it's very easy for a child to spend more of their childhood with strangers than they do their own parents. And you don't think we're reaping about 2 generations of that right now in our society? We're reaping that. We're reaping that God never intended for the government or the school system or babysitters or anybody else to raise our children. God intended for us to raise our children. I know somebody come along, well, what about? And I'm not talking about what abouts this morning. I'm talking about what the Word of God says about something. And so I'm thankful for a mother that raised us and was there with us and played in the dirt with us. My mom didn't have girls. She had boys. Bless her heart. I've thought many times about how we tortured her and how we no doubt gave her heart attacks growing up. But I'll tell you, she was there. She was there and played with us and mentored us and guided us and gave us rules to live by and all of those things. I thank God for her presence in the home. And our society has abandoned the biblical model. Do you know only 7% of children have a biblical model of a parent? And a biblical model would be a father that works and supplies, and a mother that's a keeper at home. 7%. That's not very many in America. So if we don't hold to the model that God's given us, the world is surely abandoning it altogether. But she's a model in her passion, and she's a model in her presence, and she's a model in her protection. Now, I like what it said in verse number 10, the last part. The Bible said that she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. She kept the birds and the beasts off of her sons. And what a horrible undertaking that would be. That'd be hard. It's hard enough to go to the funeral home and see somebody in the casket. But can you imagine your own sons hanging out on the top of a rock, and every day, they didn't have what we have, every day you'd see the decay, every day you'd smell the smell, every day you'd fight the fight to keep the buzzards and the beast and the all of those things from devouring what was left of your children. I'm telling you, that'd be a hard thing to do. She had made up her mind that no matter what happened, no matter how long it took, she was going to protect her sons from this horrible shame of being devoured by the beast of the field. You know, we need some parents in this day and time that'll make up their minds they're going to protect their children. They're going to protect their children from being devoured by this world and the things of this world. Because I promise you this morning, the devil would love to destroy your children. The devil would love to devour your children. He'd love to see their lives all in a mess. And I'll tell you, one of the things the devil uses more than anything else, he uses society to do it. He uses all these things that are pulling from us. He uses peer pressure from their friends. He uses television. He uses computer and Facebook and video games. And he uses all these things. And if the parents are not on the other side and they're not protecting their children, our children are just out there. They're just out there wandering around and just waiting. And it's not if it happens, it's going to happen. The devil would like to have them, every one. He has plenty of resources. He has all kinds of things out here. My goodness, I seen something the other day out on Blowing Rock Road, a church sign. It said, get off Facebook and get on Faithbook. I like that. Some churches have more preaching on their signs than they do in the church. Amen. I wondered, you know, if you'd hear that on Sunday morning. I don't know the church, but I just wonder, considering how things are. But he has all kinds of things to drag us away and destroy our children. And here's the sad thing. Bears know that they need to protect their young. Cats know that they need to protect their young. deer out here in the wilderness, they know that they need to protect their young. And all the animals know that they need to protect their young. But the animals that ought to be the smartest, seemingly, they don't know that they ought to protect their young. We're not animals, we're people. We ought to know better. But I'll tell you so many times, and it ought to scare us, what people allow in their homes and around their children and among their children. And so we need some parents and some mothers that'll one more time rise up and will protect their children from that which is harmful out here in the world. I was thinking the other day, I was mowing. That's a good time to study if you didn't know it, but I told somebody, I said, I like to find something mindless to do, and I can usually get a lot of good studying done. And I was thinking the other day about when I was growing up, and I was about in the eighth grade, and I had a little girlfriend. That's mistake number one, but anyway, I did. I had a little girlfriend, and that's just the way it was. I'll just confess it this morning. But she was a Catholic, and I was a Baptist. I was saved. And we went to church, but I had this little girlfriend, and I'd invited her to church with me, maybe our youth group or something like that, and I can't even remember now if she ever came or not. But I remember that she invited me to her church, and I remember going and asking my mom, and my mom said, no. Can you believe that? She wouldn't let me to go. She wouldn't let me go to a Catholic church when I was in the eighth grade with my girlfriend. And I remember to this day, I remember saying, why, just wearying her to death. Why can't I go with her? What's the difference? I don't remember all the things that she told me, but I remember the last thing she told me, no. And I got to thinking the other day, what if she'd have let me go? What if she'd have let me go? And I would have grown up thinking that it really didn't matter where you went to church and it really didn't matter what you believed. I remember her telling me about my grandpa. She said, your grandpa, he's a preacher, some of you don't know. He said he would not approve. I didn't understand all that. I didn't see what the big deal was, but you know what? Thank God she didn't let me go. No telling what a crossroad that might have been in my life. I might be somewhere this morning, not married, collar around my neck. You don't know. You don't know. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom, when I was growing up. And we had a record. Some of you don't remember what that was. That's how you used to listen to music, is black flat thing. Look. And it spun around, and we'd bought this record. She let us have it, and it had a cuss word on it. And you know what Mom did? Mom found the exact place where that cuss word was. And I remember she took my brand new record and took a needle and scratched out that point, that place in that record where that man was cussing. And I remember standing there fussing about my record. That's my record, Mama. You're ruining my record. And you know what Mom done? She took that record and she went. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for all them things you didn't let me do, wouldn't let me listen to. I remember they took us to the movies one time when we was growing up, and they didn't know when we went. But there we sat, and it was full of cussing. And Mom sat there between me and my brother and liked to slap our heads off, trying to clap her hands over our head every time they said something. But she's always too late. And we just end up with a headache. But you know what? She's trying to protect us. I remember going places and leaving because it wasn't right. Thank you, Mom. We need some moms that will protect their children from the things in this world. And I'll tell you, you've got to start younger and younger because our children, I'm telling you, I didn't even know a lot of the stuff that they know today. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I just grow up in childhood and I never had to worry about what was gay marriage. You never heard of nothing like that. Look at all the mess our children has to grow up in. She's a model in her protection. We need some parents and some mothers that'll make up their heart and their mind. I'm going to try by the grace of God to protect my children and keep them pure, so they won't be defiled and unusable by God and have to flush all that trash out of their hearts and minds. Don't let them keep computers in their room and just have unlimited access to phones and TV and, my goodness, things that's on now that never, you know what I'm talking about. You got to be more protective than they were even in the past. She was a model in her protection. She wasn't going to let the beast devour her children. She's a model in her prayer. Now in verse number 10, this whole verse is a picture of her prayer life. The Bible said she took a sackcloth, spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven. And so her whole desire was a proper burial for her sons. And she's making this plea to the king. That's what she's doing every day and every night that she's out there. She is somehow, I'll read it in a minute, she's making a petition to the king. Bury my sons. Bury my sons. Don't let them hang out here no longer. Bury my sons. She's pleading and praying to the king to bury my sons. Don't let them suffer this horrible shame and disgrace of hanging out here and rotting in the sun and all of those things. And so day and night, sackcloth, the whole thing is a scene of prayer, earnest, continual. The Bible said in James 5 and 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And let me say, and of a righteous woman. Thank God for praying mamas. I was looking up here this morning in the choir. You notice the front row of our choir up here, these men. And I was singing about the message, and I was singing about, I have heard every one of these men, when Brother John said it first, that got me thinking, I've heard every one of these men that sat here testify and thank God for their mama that prayed for them. It's Brother Dale, it's Brother Finley, Brother Raymond, Brother Rodney, Brother John, all sitting right here. I've heard every one of them talk about their mama. And many of the other men in the church this morning, and we can talk about thank God for a praying mama. And so we find here a praying mother. And oh, how we need praying mothers in our day and time. I was talking to Brother Mark, and we were talking about something along these lines, and I said, you know, my grandma looked like a grandma and smelled like a grandma and acted like a grandma. And many grandmas today, I don't know if they're a grandma or young, you know, but I'm telling you, once upon a time, grandmas looked like grandmas and acted like grandmas. Prayed like grandmas and went to church and carried a Bible. And I can imagine and see my grandmother singing in the kitchen and my other mamma. I can see her taking care of her youngins and all of these things. But prayer warriors, oh, how we need praying mamas again in our day and time. Who's going to take the place of these that have passed on? Who's going to come along and be the mother and the grandmother like the old mothers and the old grandmothers and mothers in the church? And she's an example in her prayer. And I've already said there's 5 or 6 months here in verse number 10. She's an example in her perseverance. The Bible said from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. That's a long time. You know, giving birth doesn't make you a mother. Having a baby doesn't make you a mother. It's all the things that you do from the birth. I figured it up, average 7,600 and however many other days that God gives you with your children. That's what makes a mother a mother. It's sad. We're living in days and times where many people would say, Daddy, Mama, don't mean nothing to children. Just having children doesn't make parents. It's what you do all the rest of the time. She's a model in her perseverance. It's after that you get them and take them home that, you know, if you've never had children or maybe had one, boy, I tell you, that having a child, that's a big deal. It's a miracle. And you have them and then you take them home and then you say when you get them home, now what do we do with them? That's when your work starts. That birthing process, that's the easy part. But from when you bring them home till one of you leaves this world, that's the hard part, and that's what decides what kind of parent you are. If you're a real father, if you're a real mother or not, it takes perseverance and years and years and years of investment and prayers and taking them to church and rules and reading the Bible and all the things that parents do for your children. You know, when I was growing up, our parents whipped us. And it done us good. If my parents wouldn't have whipped me, there's no telling. I'd probably be in the penitentiary if I was still alive. Oh, things are different now. They'd whip us in the grocery store. They would whip us going down the road. They were such experts, they didn't even have to. You talk about texting and driving. You ought to try whipping and driving. They could do it all. I mean, driving down the road and beating us over the... We had a wonderful childhood. I thank God for it. They whipped us, they corrected us, they made us mind, they made us sit still, be quiet, and they did it, and they did it, and they didn't stop. Because we needed it. Boy, we need some parents that's got some perseverance. I'm not for beating children, I'm not for abusing children. The Word of God says if you don't spank your children, you hate them. Read it. Read it in the book of Proverbs. Find it. That'd be a good Bible study for you. But I'll tell you, it doesn't kill a child to correct them and to make them mind, make them be respectful. She's a model in her perseverance. And last of all, she's a model in her pay. Look in verse number 11, and I'll read down a few verses or just skim through here and show you some things. She finally got what she'd been praying for. The Bible said in verse 11, and it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. And so David heard about her setting out there all that time and her prayer and her desire. The Bible said in verse 13, and he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. That's her sons. 5-6 months later, all's left the bones. The sun and the environment would melt the flesh off of a body. And all that was left was the bones. The Bible said in verse 14, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. You see what happened there? They buried those men that they'd hung up on behalf of the Gibeonites. And not only that, the Bible said they performed all that the king commanded. I believe the king commanded them a proper burial. They didn't just take them out there and throw them in the ground. They buried them according to all that the king had said. So she finally got her desire. She got her pay. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs 31 and 28 about a mother, it said, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And so there's a reward for the mother. And that's when a child comes along and says, thank you, Mama. I praise you. I thank God for my mom. I thank God for my grandmother. Thank God for my mama. Thank God for these their influence in my life. There's a pay. there's a pay. Can I tell you a little secret? My wife got paid just a little bit this morning. She told me, and maybe I might get in trouble for doing this, but she wondered if Noah got her anything. Now, I didn't tell him to get her anything, and she didn't tell him to get her anything. And I'm telling you, that mother, she laid down on her bed last night, and she said, I wonder if Noah remembered. I knew that he did, but I didn't tell her. I thought she could suffer through the night and wonder about it. And so I knew that he did. He called, wanted to ask me about it. He'd forethought and everything. All them things that matters. Thought about it before the day. That's extra points. In man, for you men. I learned that a long time ago. The longer in advance you plan for anything or think, all that adds up to extra points. You know, to me, day before, day of, it don't matter. But in woman thinking, longer you think about it. He had thought about it beforehand. Called me, asked, and everything. And this morning there on the kitchen table where she sits and has her breakfast, my son had gotten his mother something for Mother's Day, and I'm telling you, it thrilled her to death. I could tell, I've done something right. I've done something right raising that boy. Hey, everything's going to be all right. He remembered his mother on Mother's Day. Pay. Don't have to be a lot. Pay. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And so we see here about risk, but boy, I tell you, the Word of God leaves us sometimes, oh, amen or oh me. Amen or oh me. What a great mother we find in the Word of God. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.